The story of Jerusalem, and now we will proceed with husband-wife relationship as taught by Harut and Marut. So this, and I've headed it a special annexure and husband-wife relationship. In our lesson, Shaitan's plan for man, under the caption, the story of the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, the rebellious jinns, the angels Harut and Marut, and magic and sorcery. That was the heading of the section we have just concluded. I made the following observation drawn from the story of Harut and Marut and their purpose on earth. And I quote the observation, the point that I made. It is as follows. They, meaning Harut and Marut, they taught men, for example, how the shayateen, through the use of magic, sorcery, spells and omens, bewitch married couples and create division between husband and wife. This observation was taken from the ayat of the Quran Majid, which says, ayat number 102, which says, فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْعِ وَزَوْجِهِ, meaning, so men learnt from Harut and Marut that magic, by which they may cause division and separation between a man, a husband, and his wife. The Quran Majid has not expanded on this theme here. We do know, however, that this subject is dealt adequately with in Surah Nur, 24th Surah of the Quran, and comprehensively in the ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, in Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is the order for men and women. What must be observed, what must not be observed, what must be done and what must be avoided. All that is in Surah Nur. And of course, in the relationship between a husband and wife, the disciplines and the laws and the rules that govern the life of a husband and wife and the relationship of a husband and wife is comprehensively included in the Sunnah Mubarak of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I also mentioned to you at the same time that this matter was of great concern to me, for too many families were being destroyed as a result of ignorance of the workings of the shayateen. Many Muslims are cynical about the scheming role of shaitan in their marriages. And this is a pity, for such a role is definitely played out by shaitan with disastrous consequences. I want to mention here that amongst the Muslim community, there are those, the things which I am saying now about the role of shaitan, they disregard this. They view it with cynicism, in other words, with suspicion, with criticism, meaning unbelievingly. They shake their heads, Mauli Sahab, Maulana is saying this, it's alright, but you know, there's no such thing. I mean, where can shaitan come into my marriage with my wife? What can he do? In which way can he damage our relationship? So they look upon it with a lot of condescension, criticism, cynicism is the word. Alright? They appreciate what we are saying, but of course they have that side of their life in which they're, until the day it hits them between the eyes, then the only man they know to come and help them and to sympathize with them is that poor Maulana. Alright? So, be that as it may, I merely mention it in passing as I continue now. Harut and Marut were two angels that had been appointed, designated by Allah Ta'ala during the prophethood of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to reveal to mankind by teaching mankind the villainy of magic and sorcery. The villainy and magic of shaitan in the breakup of marriages in particular. That's why the Quran mentions it. Look, marriage is a very, very important thing in a person's life. It is the most important turning point in the life of a human being. That is how important it is. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the most hateful thing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the act of talaq, the act of separation. The most disgraceful and the most hateful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the act wherein husband and wife separate. Then brothers, this is an enormous statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us, which is of great importance in the life of every living being. Very important. That is why I feel that the teachings of Harut and Marut and the disciplines are very important for us to know. How does shaitan interfere in the life of a married couple? With the enormity of this problem in mind, especially in our modern day life, I wish to add an annexure to our lesson on husband-wife relationship, showing up some of the wily ways in which shaitan casts his spell to destroy marriages. Remember here the magic of shaitan, the sorcery of shaitan, how he through spells and charms creates division. Two couple, a husband and wife, loving couple, married until death do us part, through thick and thin and ill health and good health, through everything, through day and through night, until death do us part, we will never separate. They promise, they pledge, they make a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet, sooner or later, they end up, as many marriages are doing, a good percentage of marriages are doing in our day and time. We must, at this moment, my task is not to ignore this part of the lesson, but to bring it to your attention. So I say that it is important to show up some of the wily ways in which shaitan casts his spell to destroy marriages. It is my fervent hope and prayer that all those intending to get married soon, and especially those that are already married, no matter for what length of period, will benefit immensely from what is about to follow. The basic unit of society has always been and always will be the family, consisting of the father, the mother, and the children. A family in which each individual fulfills his and her obligations in accordance with the sunnah and the sharia requirements of Islam is a happy and a contented family. In families where such norms are not followed, social diseases are bound to creep in and eventually disrupt and even destroy that family. Where spiritual growth in a family stops as a result of a lack of fear of Allah Ta'ala, chaos and destruction takes over, and such a family is headed for doom and destruction. Thus, obedience to Allah Ta'ala and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most important aspect of Muslim life to both the married as well as the unmarried Muslimin. Without it, shaitan has easy access into family life and into personal life, and this is how grief begins and the rot sets in. My intention in this annexure is not to go into details about Muslim family life, but to only deal with the ways shaitan employs to create friction, animosity, division, enmity, hatred, and eventual separation between a husband and wife, as was most probably taught by Harut and Marut to mankind in Babylon, and described as the art of magic and sorcery of shaitan in the Quran Majid. Remember, I've used the word here as most probably taught by Harut and Marut. Why do I say as most probably taught? The reason being, Quran Majid doesn't say it. We learn it from the various rawayat. We learn it from the various mufassirin, the great and learned people of Islam. That is why we cannot say 100% that this is it. I have also told you that what I am doing, I am bringing all the modern problems and linking it up with those that have been mentioned by the great professors and doctors of Islamic religion. These teachings of the Quran Majid are eternal, for shaitan's attack on man and shaitan's enmity towards man is a continuing and a perpetual one. Shaitan's hatred for man is not restricted to the period of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, but it is an ongoing one from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. The reason for the teachings about how shaitan despises married Muslims, married men, and how he despises family life and tries to divide and destruct it through his powers of magic and sorcery and spell casting came about as a result of men and jinn living side by side in the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. For Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam had been granted power over the jinn by Allah Ta'ala. The jinn lived in human form. Brothers, in the time of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, if some of you have wondered how it could be, the jinn lived side by side with men in the kingdom of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. They lived in human form. They had adopted human forms and they lived like human beings. But men knew that they are jinn and jinn knew that these are him. The human beings knew that they are spirit beings and the spirit beings knew that they are human beings. Spirit being means jinn and human being means humans. Alright. They recognized one another in that way. But among both, among the jinns, they were the obedient ones as well as rebellious ones. It is these rebellious jinns who are known to us as shayateen who contrived to teach the rebellious ones amongst mankind who happened mostly to be the Bani Israel people, the black arts of magic and sorcery. On discovering their rebellion and treachery, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam separated the men from jinn in his kingdom, thus bringing to an end their dissidence and their intrigue. Much damage, however, had been done, and many among the Bani Israel had become adept at magic and sorcery. In other words, they were qualified sorcerers. They learnt completely the art of magic sorcery, witchcraft, spell casting, and omens, and so on. So Harut and Marut, the two angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were sent to Babel, which I said was Babylon, which is now present day Iraq, to teach men the evil of magic and sorcery. When men are taught the dangers of magic and sorcery, men are supposed to avoid it and to refrain from practicing it. The Bani Israel learnt it from Harut and Marut, but they learnt to abuse it by subjecting those who stood in their way, in the way of their selfish motives, to its evil influence and evil grasp. It is my belief, though I stand to correction, that the protocols of Zion, or the protocols of Zion, emanate from this era. Brothers, those of you who are aware, the Jewish constitution, you can call it, or the whole aim of the Jewish people in their life, is they follow the instructions and the rules that are contained in a book called the Protocols of Zion, which are banned in most countries for years and years. Over 40 years it was banned in South Africa as well. I don't know at the moment if it has been unbanned, but I do know that there are many, very many people that have this in their possession. Now, to them I wish to mention, it is my belief, as a matter of fact, that this particular book, I've read it many times, brothers, and it is unique. And I say that I believe that this particular book emanates from that particular era. I also wish to add that the protocols of Zion pronounce a system of ways and devices whereby the Jews can manipulate man and exploit man's resources to such an extent that by using the rules that are in that book, they can gain control over the world, its peoples, and its entire resources. Its application is pure wizardry and evil genius. It is the workings of Shaitan through and through. Through its practice, the Jews are gaining control. We can see, and I've read it and studied it, I can tell you, no Muslim can indulge in those things. It is raw. It is pure Shaitan. It has been compiled, compiled and written by the company of human jinns and shaitan jinns. Or rather, human shayateen and shayateen amongst the jinn. This is how it has been contrived. No human being could have written it. So it is or human being has written it, but with him whispering into his ear have been the shayateen, telling him, this is how you can dominate and influence the world. Through its practice, the Jews are gaining control and domination over the social, political, and economic affairs of international mankind, exactly as envisaged in this book, The Protocols of Zion, as drawn up by the shayateen amongst men and jinn. One of the major aspects of the teachings of Harut and Marut was in showing people the ugly and the evil ways by which Shaitan destroys marriages and family life by creating rifts and divisions between husbands and wives. The intriguing and deceptive ways of Shaitan have been described as magic and sorcery, and yes, this is exactly what Shaitan does. He casts, we're coming to another very delicate point. What does Shaitan do? Now, this is an introduction to our lesson. By which way? The points are still coming, how he actually interferes. What I'm doing now is I am informing you of the method, the system whereby Shaitan creates the separation between husband and wife. This is a very delicate part of our lesson. This you must understand carefully. Shaitan casts such powerful spells upon either couple, either the husband or the wife or the both, by entering their innermost thoughts with evil and misguided suggestions and sinful whisperings, that men and women become blind to reason and logic, for he encompasses the entire mind. Idealism, abstraction, and subjectivity are the conditions of the mind implanted by Shaitan to destabilize a person and to cause deviation and infidelity, and therefrom to eventual destruction. Once in the grasp of Shaitan, a person is thrown from the vertical to the horizontal, until he or a person is thrown from the vertical to the horizontal until he or she is smashed into smithereens. I repeat that the mechanisms of safeguarding oneself are the non-violation of the Sharia of Islam through the observance of the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah. Where there is implicit belief and practice, and in a family where there is less speculation, rationalism, and empiricism, there will be greater fear of Allah Ta'ala, which means taqwa, there will be greater submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala, and consequently greater protection and mercy from Allah Ta'ala, from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala upon that family. Now, these are the three means whereby Shaitan utilizes man. First is speculation. What is speculation? Shaitan wants us to speculate. He introduces the idea of speculation into the minds of men. Now, what is speculation? Speculation means it involves theorizing, conjecturing, and even guessing on matters of religious importance. What is rationalism? Rationalism is, and these explanations are in the Islamic context, rationalism means regarding human reasoning as the source of Islamic knowledge and Islamic teachings. You apply your mind and your reason to Islamic teaching. That is what rationalism means. You don't accept what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say. You apply your mind and your reason rationally. You rationalize. So you base what you accept and what you reject on the basis of rationalism, which means, as I say, basing it on human reasoning. It is the source of what you accept, what you believe, and what you deny, and what you reject. What is empiricism? This may be a new word to some of you. I've been forced to use it because it brings everything into a nutshell. Empiricism means examining and evaluating the beliefs and the doctrines of Islam along the critical methods applied to to sciences and to history, and attributing them all to natural causes rather than to the divine cause and to the divine origin. Rationalism and empiricism, not very much different from one another, though there is a critical difference between the two. So, rationalism, that reasoning is the source of Islamic knowledge and Islamic teachings. Empiricism, of course, means that we can apply critical ways of evaluation, and that all the doctrines and beliefs of Islam are attributable to natural causes, not to the revealed word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the difference. So there is a basic difference between the meaning of the two. This is the weapon of shaitan. These are the three things, brothers, these three. Speculation. When you start speculating on the fundamental beliefs, principles and teachings of Islam, you must know you have become a partner of shaitan. Now shaitan is, and brothers, how rife is speculation in the Muslim Ummah? Need I tell you how rife it is? Where does it start? So speculation. Rationalism, why should I accept what Islam teaches? Why should I accept this law? What is this law of Sharia? Now how can this be and how can that be? I've got a degree of, this is why many a time I mention, and I've so many times apologized as well, I say many of our academics sink with this. Because rationalism, they may not have much of speculation, but rationalism and empiricism, they allow to, because the entire secular knowledges, sciences, the teachings of our schools and colleges and universities are based on this. Rationalism, empiricism. Basically it means denial of God and denial of the commandments of God. This is what it means. So there it is. And why I've apologized is because they have come back to me and said, Maulana, no, you are wrong. We are not like that. And I've come to know and made hundreds of friends in the professional classes where I now realize how abiding they are, many amongst them, to the laws of Islam and the teachings of Islam. But this does apply. You will find, for example, a person who is qualified as an alim. I'll give you an example. This is happening. He qualifies, he becomes a hafiz of Quran, not always but sometimes, he becomes an alim of the deen. He spends 3 to 4 years in becoming a hafiz of the Quran. He spends another 6 to 7 years in becoming an alim. He spent between 10 to 15 years of his life in acquiring knowledge about Islam, of Islam. Then he comes back home and he finds that he can hardly be even a breadwinner. He can hardly earn enough to support his family. This is truth, brothers. You know how many of them are around us here. Today they are being forced to drive taxis. They are being forced to live well below the poverty datum line, below the bread line. Many are suffering. Many are hungry. Many are suffering. Many can't pay their rents. Can't pay their light bills. They cannot even afford a decent home, leave alone providing for their families. This is the case and this is the truth. As a result, some of them, the more brighter ones, decide, all right, we will do a course. We will go to university. We'll try and... They do go. Some of them do go and they acquire a degree or two. Maybe a BA, maybe an MA or whatever. And brothers, as a result of acquiring a little bit of secular knowledge, maybe a degree or two, the change that comes into their beliefs, their life, and into their basic way of thinking, as a result of introducing rationalism and empiricism to their way of thinking, brothers, they destroy themselves. They destroy themselves completely, and I've had so many of them that have become like this. I don't want to take names here. They become the biggest shayateen in the ummah, because as ulamas and as huffaz, some of them, they are misleading the ummah. and this is destructive. But here it is, this is the three methods employed by Shayateen in order to destroy man. What I'm coming to now is, this is the three processes of thinking and thought whereby Shaitan starts to act on a family. Where the husband or the wife can be duped through speculation or rationalism or empiricism, you hitting the road of trouble immediately. Let's carry on now. Once man subjects his mind to these processes of thinking and evaluation to arrive at conclusions satisfactory and acceptable to himself, then he has thrown himself at the feet of Shaitan, and he will carry out every bidding, and she will carry out every bidding of the devil. These three processes of thinking, in fact, are governed and controlled by Shaitan by infiltrating the mind of man and penetrating into his heart and controlling his emotions and becoming the driving and the motivating force in the life of that individual. Through his evil genius, through his evil powers, Shaitan, listen to this, Shaitan then casts a spell of magic over that man, over that individual, and Shaitan then overpowers him or her completely with the satanic forces that are at his disposal. His army, he also got his family. That Shaitan also got his Shaitani family. He's got his Shaitani wife. He's got his Shaitani children. His rebellious, disobedient, dissident ones. His task is now to set himself upon you. That is when, through speculation and rationalism and empiricism, through these three avenues, when he finds that a husband or a wife or any individual for that matter is following this system of reasoning, then he enters that mind and that heart. In other words, he comes and occupies the body. He takes possession of the mind and the heart and the body of such a person. He imprisons that person. He enslaves that person, and he casts a spell. Shaitan knows all the spells, all the charms he knows. He casts a spell of magic over that individual, and he overpowers him completely with his satanic forces. The satanic forces consist of a blinding spell bewitching the heart and the mind of the individual by bringing these organs, the human organs and the human limbs, under the control of evil suggestions from Shaitan, and by surrounding the victim, that individual, with temptations placed at his disposal or her disposal by the Shayateen, appointed to hold him as their prisoner. So they surround him completely, they enchain him, entomb him completely, and they take over his entire organs, all his human organs and all his human limbs, his and her, and they take over completely, and he casts a spell, and his spell binds that person, that man or woman, completely, and they take control, and then he surrounds them with his army. And in their hundreds, even in their thousands, and their task allocated to them is, you look to this man, this woman is now a prisoner, and you must place temptations continuously at their disposal, and they continue thereafter always to tempt him, and all kinds of temptation, all kinds of temptations are offered to this person to keep that person and that individual completely imprisoned by Shaitan. Brothers, it is, you know, I'm talking to you about something which you cannot see, but believe me, the ulama, the awliya, who have seen these things through the barakah and the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon them. Look, that world is a world out there of the shayateen. Brothers, they exist. Don't doubt it, the jinns exist. And they can't merely just exist like that without having a purpose. The shayateen have a purpose. Their major purpose is to imprison and chain and make man rebellious like themselves. That is their task. They have no other job but to see to it that they destroy this human being. And this didn't start now, it started from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. So believe me when I tell you this, and what I'm telling you is just a little portion of the way that they operate. The binding influence of the shayateen, the spell that they cast on that man or that woman, the binding influence of the shayateen is so intense and it is so severe over the victim that this satanic force has been described as sihr in the Quran Majeed. And you know what sihr means? Sihr translated into English means bewitchment, beguilement, enchantment, and fascination reached through sorcery, witchcraft, magic, charms, spells, and omens. Now I tell you, if a human being who has learned witchcraft and sorcery from Shaitan has the powers to do so many things, tell me Shaitan, his teacher, himself, how much more power has he got? And when a human being is thus occupied because of his rebellion, because of him and her not obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and disobeying the sunnah of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah, which provides them with a protection mechanism and the noor which Shaitan fears and disappears from. He gives away and he goes out from there. When that noor of sunnah and the barakah and the rahmah through obedience to Allah Ta'ala's commandments is not there, when the visitation to the masajid by the male is not there, when the salah in the home by the female is not there, when there is no obedience to sunnah by the wife who bears the child, for that, when those observations are not there, tell me when the parda is not there, tell me what happens then? That is for us to decide. How easy is it for the millions of shayateen that are floating around and flying around and all over the... How easy it is for them to make us their captive. Man has been given the choice of following right and wrong, truth and falsehood, good and evil. That is man's choice. At the end of the road, at the end of the road for each and every human being, there is Jannah or Jahannam. He and she must make the right choice in this world, in marriage. In marriage, it is the same. You either choose to respect the vows of marriage and the sanctity of marriage, or you choose not to do so. If you choose to do so, then marriage becomes attractive and it becomes constructive. But if you choose to be liberal and disrespectful, then that marriage becomes ugly and it becomes destructive. That is the first rule of marriage. Respect for the rules of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respect for one another as partners for life. If we lack in respect to this principle of life, we invite the attention of Shaitan and then the trouble starts. For our sworn enemy waits for such an opportunity to create havoc with our lives. What are the factors, few more minutes I'm finished. What are the factors in the present day that lead to intervention and interference in our lives by Shaitan? These I will enumerate for you to the best of my ability. I do not claim to cover every factor that leads to the destruction of marital life by the evil of Shaitan. But as many of them, I will mention as many of them as I possibly can. Experience in this matter through dealing and healing hundreds of cases among all classes and categories of people has taught me a lot, and I am guided by it. My wish is to broaden your outlook so that you realize the profound importance of creating a happy and a contented home through a balanced and a peaceful family. And who among us would not love to have such a haven, to come home to such a haven? I therefore wish to make you aware of the pressures Shaitan exerts on married couples through magic and sorcery, through spells and charms, to carry out his devilish task of breaking up family life. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers, next week I will start one by one enumerating them for you. As I said, there are about 20 numbers. Inshallah.
من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Alhamdulillah, we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject, Shaitan's plan for man. We're doing a special annexure which deals with the teachings of Harut and Marut as to the causes of separation when two people get married, a husband and wife, when the conflicts and the emotions that are aroused by Shaitan between the couple, the causes thereof, and how eventually Shaitan bewitches, casts an omen or spell on either party, either the husband or the wife or both, and eventually he breaks down the marriage, resulting in turmoil and torture and torment and eventual talaq, separation. How does Shaitan achieve this? First point coming up. The first and foremost weakness we display, which permits Shaitan in our marriages, we're talking about marriage, alright? About a husband and wife. The first and foremost weakness we display, which permits Shaitan to destruct us, is weakness of iman and neglect of a'mal. Thereby we allow for erosion of our marriages. So the first point which Harut and Marut taught humanity was that when there is no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there is no taqwa, then there is no cement in that marriage. Then it erodes. So very briefly stated, without elaborating on this particular point, when there is weakness of iman in either the husband or the wife, and when there is a lack, there may be iman, but then there may be no a'mal. The two go hand in hand. Any weakness in iman or weakness in a'mal results in easy open door. Your whole front door is open. All the windows are actually open. And Shaitan to penetrate and to break down that marriage. So, Muslimin, those who are married, husbands and wives, who show weakness in iman or in a'mal, they should have no qualms when such a marriage breaks down, because they have invited Shaitan. Number two, the second important factor which brings Shaitan into our lives, as if by invitation, is the way in which we have secularized our lives. We live in a largely non-Muslim society, and we have allowed their values to swallow us up. They think in terms of their economic situation, who the kuffar, in terms of science and technology and materialism, their personal welfare is their greatest concern. Not so with Muslimin. Our spiritual welfare deserves the highest priority. This is what we live for. We live for akhirah, not for dunya. The moment Shaitan finds out that this particular Muslim family and this couple are now, from the inception of their marriage, immediately thereafter they are concerned with the material things in the house. Furniture, carpets, just briefly to mention to you how we allow Shaitan to come in. The material desires, fancies and hopes of a couple. Their concern is with things material. Then immediately we are asking and begging Shaitan to corrupt us. Brothers and sisters, I have told you so many times, and you are aware of this, the Quran Pak mentions openly, Shaitan is your open enemy. Meaning that Shaitan is right there, he is listening to you, listening to your desires, listening to your hopes and your intentions. He is well aware of what is going on in that house. Shaitan is not Allah. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has granted Shaitan the powers of entering and listening to these talks. Yes, Quran says in the pre Nabuwat period, meaning the Risalat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaitan used to go into the Sama and used to hide in the clouds and used to listen to the conversation of the angels. If Shaitan had access to the private conversations of the angels, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that the stars should strike and burn the angel, the shayateen that come and hide themselves in the Sama and listen to the angels. That the stars should strike them and burn them down. Alright? So that stopped because Shaitan couldn't go and listen to the angels anymore. But nowhere in the Quran does it say that Shaitan does not listen to the conversation of human beings. Rather the opposite. Shaitan says he does listen to the conversation and the talks of the human beings. And Shaitan not only listens to them, if he wants to know what you are thinking and what your intentions and hopes are, even if they are unstated, Shaitan has easy access. He flows into our blood, he liquefies himself, flows in our blood and comes to know what our designs are. Not all, but whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him to know. So Shaitan has access to our innermost secrets. When these thoughts and ideas are materialistic, I've used the word secular, when these are secularized, as we live with the kuffar society, we have secularized our objectives in life, our aims in life, what happens then? Shaitan says, well, I've got this man and this marriage, because the worst thing that Shaitan, the thing that he hates the most in mankind, which he considers to be the worst in mankind, is two people married to one another. And this is the reason why Harut and Marut were especially appointed, two angels, to Babel, to teach mankind in the period of the Nabuwat of Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, the damage and the destruction which is woven and the spell that is cast on a couple when they are married by Shaitan. This is what they taught. I'm obviously using the modern idiom and the modern words and the modern ways. Those angels taught them also the secularization process and how when Muslims become materialistic in their objectives, then Shaitan penetrates and Shaitan immediately starts through access into their hearts, he starts the process of destruction. This is not our way. This is not marriage. This is not hope. This is destruction. Our spiritual welfare deserves highest priority. Husband and wife, on being married, the first decisions they must make is how best they can be and how most comfortably they can be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and followers of the sunnah of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their first consideration is that. We have succumbed, we Muslimin have succumbed to the values of the kuffar so much so that we place greater emphasis on material issues such as comfortable homes, high incomes, expensive modern conveniences, elaborate lifestyles, much extravagance and luxury, massive undertakings, huge interest-bearing loans and higher purchase agreements. I need this furniture. Brothers, the income of the husband is a certain amount. They can, according to income, afford a certain kind of furniture and a certain kind of carpet and a certain level of comfort. But now when they go into the shop and the salesman throws his sales pitch, then the furniture they went to buy, which was perhaps 2,000 rand, the furniture salesman through the gift of the gab makes them buy furniture maybe 4 times, 5 times as much, telling them they can pay it off this way and pay it off that way. This is the reality of the situation. They are young, they are inexperienced. And this is what generally drives the wife eventually, because commitments cannot be met, she's got to go and work. Most cases, many cases, she expects within a few months' time, she's expecting her first child, in which more courage is needed and more sabr is needed of the wife and the mother to be in the first for the first child that she bears, and yet she has got to go and work. So brothers, we look for trouble, Shaitan comes in. That is what I'm trying to say. In those days, Harut and Marut showed the people practically in the ways in which Shaitan comes in to break the relationship. I'm obviously using our period and our time, and I've left what the tafsirs have to say about that period, and I'm bringing in the way it is done now. And what happens in our world today. There it comes, trouble starts. First of all, riba immediately becomes involved. And riba is the staircase for Shaitan. That is the steps on which he climbs to enter your lives and to destruct your marriage. Hire purchase agreement, end of the month, husband and wife are working 8 hours a day to 10 hours a day, spending 2-3 hours on the road in traveling, and all the stresses and tensions that accompany the work, all that is brought in. End of the month, if they cannot meet payments, you can imagine what happens. Who has asked for trouble? We have asked for trouble. All Shaitan does, he stands there and he whispers to the wife, not this, that, buy that, not this, buy that, not this, etc. He instigates the wife. He comes and whispers to the husband, you will manage, you will afford, don't buy this car, buy that car, don't buy a second-hand car, buy a new car, and so on and so forth. Now let's proceed with the practicals. So we say, we invite the interest of Shaitan through taking huge interest-bearing loans and hire purchase agreements, credit-style borrowing, everything on credit, everything on the book, lavish parties, much wastage, expensive honeymoons, and lavish holidays, and numerous other material conditions besides these. Honeymoon has become more important in our lives than the sunnah procedure after marriage. Here you get a couple strained through the effects of marriage and all the preparations of marriage, going on to some kafir hotel in a place where there is no Allah and Rasul, neither the name nor the definition nor the distinction anywhere. They go into a place where there are things going on like partying and drinking, and which hotel does not have a bar? Late night parties and drinking and frolicking and dancing. Which hotel does not have it? Otherwise the hotel industry would not thrive, would not be successful. In that environment, you take your wife and you go into that environment and you stay there for a day or two. And it is possible that your first child may be conceived in that environment. Why not? Doesn't Shaitan figure in all this? Shaitan figures very clearly in all this. So brothers, here we have the idea I'm giving you of what, of the method and the manner in which Shaitan comes into our lives. These material standards and values do not go towards making relationships between husband and wife work. For when the objective is misplaced, in this case material instead of spiritual, then marriage and life will be destroyed by the handiwork of Shaitan. For Shaitan breeds greed and selfishness in persons, and then through breeding in the wife and the husband greed and selfishness, he starts disputations, which means arguments. Then there are losses. In other words, some of your furniture and carpets and goods, material things may be reclaimed and repossessed. You know what happened. The house which you couldn't afford, for which you went into hoping that you would be able to meet your bills, cannot be paid back. It will maybe repossessed also. So the heartaches and the losses. And then your heart starts getting hard. Hard-heartedness comes in. The whole world, you feel and you get the feeling, and Shaitan is whispering this into, because he wants you to become hard-hearted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, describes the heart of the Bani Israel people as being hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is harder than stone. Water can come out of stone, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but out of the heart of a Bani Israel person, not even water will come out. Now this Shaitan stands here and he whispers. He says, you know, the whole world hates you. The whole world dislikes you. Look at the way they're repossessing. Look at how hard you are working. And in this manner, Shaitan comes in and he starts to make the heart of the husband and the wife harden against companies and people and so forth. And then jealousy start creeping in, all kinds of petty jealousies. He starts instigating, you know, people will come in and say, I did tell you this, I warned you about this, and I told you this. You start hating that person. So hatred, enmity and jealousy is bred within you. Shaitan again puts all this into your ears. Rivalries, competition, separation, divorce and destruction of that family eventually results. If it takes, the longer it takes, the more enjoyment. This is the food for Shaitan. Now we need food until the day we die. So Shaitan doesn't go about destroying this marriage immediately. He wants to stretch it out because this is his pleasure, this is his hobby, and this is his food. So he stretches out that whole episode until the final breakdown and until the final talaq and separation. He will torture and he will torment and will feed off that with great joy. In the hadith it comes that the shaitan every day, every evening sits with his cronies, with those shayateen whom he has appointed on that couple. Shaitan actually, in the mornings, they have their gathering, and in there he appoints a large number of shayateen to go to a married couple or a recently married couple, or to all married couple, to work on them, to mislead them, to lead them astray. And they come in and they circle that house. Subuh time, Fajr time, immediately after Fajr. Then they are circling that house and going round and round, making tawaf of the house. Which way and from where can we enter this house? So we can create mischief and we can break this marriage down. And he waits. If the couple are asleep, no adhan has gone, no salat, man has not gone for salah, the wife has not woken up for salah, immediately you have told your story. The order of breakdown has immediately commenced and started. He will, the first action of Shaitan is that when he comes into the house and he sees that it's 1 second past subuh, 1 minute past subuh, then he comes in within the first minute. And the first thing Shaitan does when he comes in, if he finds husband, wife and grown up children asleep, the first thing he does, he goes in there. What is our first need when we get up in the morning? We are human beings. Our first need is to go to the toilet, to relieve ourselves. When Shaitan comes into that house, his first need is to go to the toilet. What is Shaitan's toilet? Asleep, a person, those people who have missed salah and are fast asleep. So he goes in and he urinates in the ears of these people. That's a sahih hadith I'm giving you. Because we are not dealing with the hadith there. So he comes and he urinates in both the ears, and then he goes away. This is where the trouble starts in a married couple, where there is neglect of spiritual discipline. All the wealth in the world does not disturb the tranquility and peace of the spiritually imbued Muslimin, those that are Allah conscious, those that are Sunnah practicing, those that are Islamic living peoples of the world. Now we come to number 3. How marriages break down. The various points that Harut and Marut taught, we are typifying them in numbers. Number 3. The third vital factor which leads to interference in the lives of married couples by Shaitan is due to a lack of commitment. The husband and wife are not truly and sincerely committed to one another. It's a romantic they have met romantically, there is no understanding, no depth what marriage involves. All they know is that we are Muslim, we must perform nikah, we must live together, which is very good. Anything more than that, about commitment of husband to wife and wife to husband, they know very little or nothing about. There are exceptions. But in general, they know very little about the Islamic Sharia commitment of husband to wife and wife to husband. The husband and wife are not truly and sincerely committed to one another. Marriage is considered as a meeting of passion, to make passion halal, to make love halal. That is what marriage means to them. And marriage means it's a convenience for their life, of their life. And its actual purpose is ignored or it is unknown. If this basic guideline of marital relationships is not upheld, in other words, they do not have the knowledge, then Shaitan will force his will upon the couple and he will cause it to deteriorate piece by piece through evil spells until a separation of husband and wife is brought about. Now Shaitan finds an opportunity. The husband is not fully committed to the wife, and the wife is not fully committed to the husband. For them, it's just a romantic journey. Just a love trip. That's all. Just something that the fires of passion can be stirred. That's all it means to them. Shaitan then uses that opportunity because of a lack of understanding about commitment, lifelong commitment. Then Shaitan casts a spell. He bewitches either the husband or the wife or both. And he has them in his grasp because they lack the true knowledge. Now, because they are operating on a passionate level and on an ignorant level, then immediately it is easy for Shaitan now to use his magic and to cast spells upon either. They become his victims very, very easily. Mutual commitment to one another by husband and wife, which is then governed and sustained by a disciplined Islamic lifestyle in which the spirit dominates the material and in which sharing, caring and growing outweighs naming, blaming and shaming, will make a couple superior, mature and wiser than when they had entered the marriage. Now briefly, the one I told you, how Shaitan will enter the marriage, come into them, and when he finds ignorance and marriage for the sake of satisfying the passion, then he will use his charms and his magic and his sorcery to bewitch either the one or both. Because sometimes the male knows and the female doesn't know. Sometimes the female knows and the male doesn't know. And there is no level of attainment by both of them. No knowledge. If one has knowledge, he works on the other. If one has knowledge and no practice, then he works on that. This is how Shaitan works. He first researches and he finds out where are the weaknesses through which he can penetrate and enter the hearts and minds. When he finds that there's lack of commitment, they have not understood, for example, that the most mabghuz, the most hated action, this brief knowledge the couple don't carry, that the most hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talaq. They do not know that we are going to get married or are married. And this commitment in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. No matter what is going to happen between us, my husband, no matter what is going to happen between us, my wife, we are not going to allow Shaitan to come between us and waswas us and break us up. Whenever there is a misunderstanding between us, we will sort it out. We will not allow Shaitan to penetrate. Whatever he creates in your mind of doubt, or whatever in mine, we, in the name of Allah, we are going to sort ourselves out. We're not going to allow him to interfere in our marriage. When there is this lack of understanding, then of course trouble is going to occur. What is the Islamic ethic with regard to commitment? It is the following which I've said. Mutual commitment to one another by husband and wife, which is governed, this is the Islamic law. Now I'll tell you how Shaitan breaks it. The Islamic law is that when a husband and wife are committed to one another, then it must be governed and sustained by a disciplined Islamic lifestyle in which the spiritual dominates the material and in which marriage, sharing, caring and growing outweighs, easy for you to understand, sharing is where each one shares with the other. There is partnership. There is sharing. Caring, the one loves the other loves. So much so that they care for one another. So sharing and caring and growing. Then from these two, they grow together. Together, the one doesn't pull the other. There's equality. There's understanding. There's shura. There's consultation. There's mutual agreement on everything. When there is this, what will happen? This will eliminate. What will it eliminate? Naming. The wife will never call him names. The husband won't call the wife names and the wife won't call him names. And by names you understand what I mean. You are imbecile. You are stupid. You are foolish. You know nothing. You are this and you are that and you know more or less the type of words people use. You are junk. You are filth. Brothers, it grows harsher and harsher, and they ridicule the wife. The wife in turn does the same to the husband. You rubbish. You are nonsense. You are dirt. And so on. That will not take place because they know that that is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teaching of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah s.a.w. Since they know they are committed to one another, they will not dare to use such names. If they ever do, and if there's a slip of the tongue, then immediately they will ask maaf of one another and they will ask make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know they have done wrong. They will withdraw and they will be sorry for what has happened. But one who doesn't know, he will continue to call evil names. The next one that happens between the two, instigated by shaitan. Remember, I'm talking about shaitan. One, he will go into that bloodstream, heat it up with anger. This is his work. He's a master at that. He'll heat up the blood, heat up the passion, create anger, and you start calling names. The next is blaming. Wife says, it's your fault. You made me buy all this. You made me do all this. You drove me to this. Blaming. The husband will do the exact, it's you. If you didn't do this, and if you, simple, brothers, what did I tell you? My experience has taught me, experience that extends over more than 2 decades, it has taught me that talaqs and eventual separations result from petty arguments, the kind I'm giving you now. Born of nonsense, brothers, born of absolute nonsense. The husband will sit there and say, this is the names that she calls me. This is the way she blames me. That's where I've come out with this naming, blaming and shaming. Where did I get this from? This is how shaitan operates. And he heats it up and in anger, and the pride is there. Once the pride is there in the woman and the pride is in the man, they don't want to withdraw. They don't want to ask him for forgiveness. And it's petty, it's absolutely silly that they have done. They have been forced, they didn't know, because they don't know, and some of them don't even believe the shaitan is sitting right there, running to their blood and causing them to say these things. They don't know. This is the magic of shaitan. This is the bewitchment. He blinds you, brothers. He closes your mind. And the woman justifies, she says, no, he is a rascal, and he is an imposter, and he is a rubbish. And she says the same. This is the thing. And how many marriages, brothers, are ending up because of this stupidity, that they don't know what that shaitan is whispering these into their ears and causing them to say something. So the second one is blaming, where the wife blames the husband for all the troubles and the husband blames the wife for all the trouble. And of course, you know how things can get heated up, pots and pans can fly and other things can go, and then they seek revenge on one another and all the rest that follows, you know. And eventually they come along and they cannot carry on at all. All has come from just one name calling, one blaming. And then of course shaming is you know what you wear before you got married. You know what you wear. You know what you are. You know what you were doing, etc. Things like that. But I don't want to give you all the details. You know it better than I do. So shaming. He will ridicule her to the extent where she is a harlot. She's a prostitute. She is the worst. She slept with this one and that one and that one, and you don't know what you're saying. And shaitan goes on. This is the magic. This is witchcraft. This is witchcraft. Many a time he's uttering these things with his mouth. She's uttering it with her mouth. And they know that it is false. But shaitan has driven them crazy. So this is seher. This is seher. This is what it is, and this is what eventually is going to drive them up the wall and make, and shaitan thrives, brothers. He will stretch that into years and years if he can. He comes there in the morning with all his music and all his fun and all his clan and all his wives and children and everybody in sitta. He enjoys. There's music in this house for him. There's entertainment for him. He doesn't want it to end in a day or two. He wants these quarrels and arguments and differences and blaming and naming. He wants this to go on for ages